Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to this week's Weekly D, and today we're talking about sustainable pole fashion because people always ask why pole sets are expensive, and I'm going to get down to the bottom of it, and I'm going to talk to someone who would know. So I invited my friend Kim, who runs Pole Hog, which is a UK-based pole brand. Really excited for you to hear this episode. So without further ado, this is the Weekly D, because honey, if you ain't getting your D on the daily, you better at least begin it once on the weekly.
Weekly D. If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D.
Hey, Kim. Thank you so much for coming onto my podcast. I know you're a little bit nervous about doing this, but honestly, don't be nervous because, like, this is just going to be, like, a fun little chit-chat. We're just going to have some fun. So, like, I just want to talk to you and get all your knowledge and learn more about Pole Hog and what you do and stuff. So, For anyone who doesn't know you or know who Pole Hog is, can you just give us, like, a brief sort of, like, what you do, where you're from, what your business is. Give us a little blurb about you.
Okay, so, I don't know, it's really hard because we're just who we are, you know. I think the easiest thing is to tell you how we started. Okay. That is the easiest way. Perfect. So, I just had a baby and I was a little bit larger than I used to be. And I really, really didn't stick to any sort of fitness. Nothing really worked. And then I seen some pole dance classes advertised. So I was like, okay, well, you know, it sounds a bit different. It sounds a bit fun. We'll go to that. So I started going at Alford in Skegness. And it was fantastic. It was so good. Just so much fun. And I was like, yeah, I really want to go. And then, like, it turned into going every single week without fail. And then seeing everybody and they were all turning up in their pole clothes. And I was like, oh, I really want some. I want to match everybody else, you know. And then I went online to find some. And bearing in mind I was size 16 at the time, I was like, well, can't find anything like over a size 10. What's going off, you know. Right. So it was like
disheartening. What year was that?
I don't know. I think we've been going about 7 or 8 years now, so it was like quite a while ago.
Right.
If you could find anything, it was so expensive. It's like, you know.
Are we talking like Bad Kitty era?
Yes.
Right, okay. So we're talking like quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago, yeah.
Okay.
It was so hard. You couldn't find anything, and if you could, it was like silly money. You know, so I was like, oh, well, you know, what am I going to do? I can't find anything to wear. So this is where my other half comes into it, Mr. Pole Hog. I says to him, right, if I get you some fabric, can you make me something? He's like, well, you know, I used to make car seats and stuff, like, you know, stuff put on, like, modified cars and stuff. I was like, I'm sure I can make some pants. So I bought the fabric. And then he made me some, and I took him to pole class. And everyone was like, oh, my God, they're fantastic. Like, how have you got pole pants? And then it sort of escalated because I sold them at the pole class and I came back and I was like, oh, you need to make me another pair. So it was like, why? Like, well, I kind of sold them. And this kind of escalated from there. And, like within, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, I'd, like, sold all these pants and I'd still got no pants for myself. And like within a month of that, we'd got a website, we've got everything, and we're shipping internationally. It just went crazy. It was like, it was chaos, honestly.
So his background was doing sewing, but for like custom cars or something, was it? For the cars?
Yeah, it wasn't something that he did for a job. What it was is he had a car, and he used to spend a lot of money on it, and he couldn't find any seat, so he bought himself a sewing machine and he made them, and then somebody else wanted some, and you know, he did a bit like that, a bit the same really, but he never really made millions of them. It was just, you know, for his mates and stuff. So obviously he'd got this sewing machine, so I told him to crack it out and make me a pair of pants, and Pole Hog was born.
That is amazing.
It was crazy.
Where did the name Pole Hog come from?
So it's a difficult one because we don't actually know. There's a little bit of a disagreement between me and Jesse because my daughter I used to have a pole in the house, obviously, and my daughter used to dance on the pole, and I'd like, come on, Bella, let me have a go. So she's just hogging the pole. But Jesse swear blinds that she said it, so, you know, it's one of those things. But that's where it came from, basically, was that my daughter stole the pole all the time.
And for anyone who's listening who isn't from the UK, just in case you don't use that expression, Pole Hog is, well, it's a brand now in the UK, obviously, owned by Kim. But a pole hog would be someone who's like, yeah, just hogging the pole. Like, they just won't let you go on the pole, they're being a pole hog. So it's just kind of like a fun little play on words. I assume they probably say that in the US and stuff as well, in Canada. But yeah, just in case anyone's just like, what the hell is a pole hog? Because you know how, like, some people call a hog, like a pig, right? So yeah. You're just like, I didn't want anyone thinking it was some weird name about, like, pole pigs or something weird, you know what I mean? But so the reason why I wanted to talk to you is because I feel like a lot of people want to know why pole clothing is so expensive. And obviously one of the things that Pole Hog is known for is for providing more affordable pole wear. I wear Pole Hog because it's one of the better ones in terms of fit for me for men's shorts. I actually bought some last night. Did you see? I did an order last night.
Oh.
So I did a little order last night because... So it's really funny, actually. I was about to perform my showcase the other day, and my instructor says to me, I bent down to get something, and she turns over to me, she's like, Dan, you've got a hole in your crotch, in your pole shorts. Babe, I've had these pole shorts for, I don't know, maybe even 6 years. No, probably yeah. not, but maybe like 5 years. I just love them. I'm always wearing them. I was like, oh, fuck. Anyway, then Mitch pulls out a pair of my shorts that I literally wore yesterday. He was like, Dan, you've made a hole in these ones as well. It's where I wear them all the time.
I'm so like happy to do it.
Like shorts. But it's just where I wear them all the time. So obviously yeah. where you're doing splits and stuff, the crotch is kind of like the first thing to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
But tell you what though, those shorts have bloody lasted me. And I like them because they're affordable, they're not too expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So was affordability one of the, not just obviously the sizing, but was affordability something that you had in mind at the time, or was just affordability something that came with it?
I suppose yes and no. Our aim was to source fabrics where we could make it affordable, but it wasn't technically the main aim, so to speak. But it became more of an aim to keep it affordable for people. As people were struggling, you know, they still wanted to go to class because that was their only point in their week that they would actually see somebody and have a laugh with their friends and, you know, have a meet up. So it became more of a thing for affordability rather than the main aim. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, do you think, I mean, I won't say any names because I feel like to say names would be really unprofessional.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there are brands within the pole industry that do charge. I mean, I've seen like some sets that are like over 100, like for like top and bottoms.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a justified price? Be honest, because, you know, are some of them like, because a lot of the brands always tend to say, like, we don't make actually a lot of money on these clothing.
Yeah.
Even though it seems expensive, we don't make a lot of money from it because
the cost. I believe every single word. Yeah.
You do? Okay. Yeah. So tell me more about that. Like, what's the most expensive part?
So I would say that you say, obviously, that you've seen sets that are over £100. Now, it's not so bad if you are doing things like that on a large scale manufacturing process, you know, so that's not too bad because everything gets switched from everybody has a job and everything gets switched from machine to machine, so it makes the process of making that garment really, really quick. If right. you gave me that and said, can you make me this, there is no way that under minimum wage that we would be able to make that in that time. that's the thing, you know, it's time. It's the time that things take to make. And this is what people don't take into consideration. You think, it's only it's only a little bit of fabric. But when you're spending hours and hours making a set, and you look back and it's like you've sold that set for £30 or £35, it doesn't cover your wages, let alone any materials. And that's why pole wear is expensive, is because you're paying for people to make it over here.
Another little topic that I think, it's really interesting. So you don't get any of your stuff made in China, no?
No, not everything is made here, everything.
It's all made
if you put an order in, if you put an order in, this is where it starts, here, from fabric. We'll take the order. Obviously, we design all our own patterns. Everything is all drawn up from scratch. And then, obviously, it goes to be cut out. Everything's cut out by hand. Nothing is, you know, nothing's like bulk made or anything like that. Your order will be in front of me. I will cut it out, and then I'll take it over to the machine, make sure it's got the right colour threads on, and then it'll be made, and I'll take it over, check it, pack it, post it.
And how long would you say, like, a top and bottoms pole set, what's turnaround? How quickly can you do one?
Depends what it is and what fabric it is.
Fabrics, oh, really?
Yeah, like if you were doing
what's
velvet.
What's the average?
I don't know. I could probably do one in about 30 minutes.
Oh, what? Top and bottom?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I remember Mr. Pole Hog. What is his actual name? I've only ever called
Ronnie.
Ronnie, that's it.
Yeah.
I remember Ronnie telling me once that he's got it down to such an art now that he can literally just whip out a pair of bottoms like super quick.
He could do it, so he could do it a lot quicker. But we had to do it. We had to get it down to that precision to be able to actually make profit from the business, because we are so cheap. I hate saying that word cheap, but
that's the thing, like, you charge, like, that's the thing. I wouldn't necessarily say as, like, it's cheap as such. It's just, like, affordable. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, it's not too expensive now. I think there was a period where you were too cheap. I don't know if you remember that you were cheaper than you are now. And I remember thinking, like, fucking hell, like, how the hell do they even, like...
Oh, no, that's the sales. So that was basically anything that we'd made to take to shows and stuff like that. If we got back from the show, whatever we had left over, I would just sell off, just so it wasn't just sat around in boxes. So we sold everything at probably cost price, you know, if not losing out a little bit.
Right.
But it stopped from being stood around, because we had so many fabrics and everything was so fast paced, we couldn't have stuff lying around because that fabric was gone.
You didn't think about, like, just saving it all for another show and just seeing if it sold another show instead?
It just depends how many shows that we did.
Yeah,
you know, if we've got, you know, like two or three planned, we could keep the more technical items back, because it obviously takes time to replace them. And it was fun. It was fun doing, you know, the massive sales.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there used to be like three or four people in the background, like, passing me stuff, and I'd be like, right, go on.
Yeah. I remember saying that, like, whenever you did, like, the sales of the clothing and stuff, I always remember seeing people go freaking mad for it, like, all in the comments and stuff, like, I want it.
Yeah.
So, with regards to, like, if someone came up to you and said, like, Kim, why is pole clothing so expensive? What is your generic answer for it?
Time and fabric. It's
How expensive is the fabric to source?
So it depends what you use. There is loads and loads and loads on the market that you can get, and it is cheap. But like you just said, like, you've had a pair of shorts that have lasted 5 years. If you buy cheap fabric, they ain't going to last. They're not going to last 5 years.
Right.
All our fabric is branded Italian Lycra. So it all comes from Italy. It's all imported, which is obviously Brexit, a massive thing. But it is all it does all come from Italy, and it is all branded Italian Lycra. There is a very, very big brand that uses the exact same velvets as us, and they charge quite a lot more, and they're in the EU as well, actually, I think.
Right. But so, and actually, how did that affect you in terms of the whole, like, Brexit thing? Like,
oh, Brexit, so, absolute nightmare.
I was going to say, it must have really screwed with the sales now.
Yep. Well, yeah. fabric went up insanely, you know, to get stuff over here, you know, it's ridiculous money. But then again, it was also the customers, because we ship worldwide and we had so many customers in the EU. And so obviously when that all occurred and they started getting huge charges, obviously our sales dropped massively. And it's really sad, because, you know, I used to talk to a lot of them quite regularly just for a chit chat. But now, you know, you don't talk so much because they don't order.
No, of course. But
yeah, it's a massive hit.
So what happened, like, did them, because I know obviously like Pole Junkie, a different sort of business model, because they don't actually have their own like branded stuff, of course. But like, you know, did you ever consider like having, yeah, I guess, like, because they ended up getting a site in Europe, didn't they? So they keep their stuff there. I mean, what were the options for you? Are there any options like that even available? Or not really, I guess.
I suppose. I mean, there was like quite a few of our customers in the Netherlands. They wanted a message because they wanted to set up selling our stuff in the Netherlands. So we would have had to have somehow got them to them, and then they could have, you know, done whatever, you know, set up their own website or whatever. But then it's the shipping costs, isn't it? It's the shipping. It's you're in the same situation. It's getting it's getting it over there. So it's I think we kind of,
surely it doesn't avoid the fact that they'd still have to pay the import tax. Yeah, I mean, so literally with the Polol's merch as well, we got completely screwed by it, because obviously it's just merchandise. So people are only buying it because it's a cute top that says, I don't know, heels bigger than your dick or whatever on it. So it's just a funny top. You don't mind paying 20, 25 quid for it, but when you get these import charges on top, you're like, oh, but that was way more than what I would have wanted to spend.
Yeah.
So then what we ended up having to do is getting our stuff made in Europe and being shipped to people, so that we weren't having to pay that. But the problem is that because obviously not everyone knows that we have changed this new company, it's like people are just assuming they're going to get these charges. But luckily, Polol's is just a side hustle. But obviously, this is a full-time job for you. So like, how much did it affect you? Like, did you get close to having to close, or did that ever become a thing?
I don't know. I suppose this is why Mr. Paul Hogg isn't here so much anymore, is because we have took a massive hit on sales, especially like international. So it doesn't warrant two people being here all the time. Bills still have to be paid, don't they? Because we keep our prices so low, we don't really make that much of a profit. You know, we don't have fancy cars or fancy houses and stuff like that. That wasn't the intention, you know, anyway, but it's never been about, you know, making millions of pounds. You're never going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think people assume that there are brands out there that are. Do you think any of the big brands are making, like, bank on these designs and stuff? Do you know what I mean?
They have to be. They have to make a profit or they wouldn't do it.
Of course, yeah.
To an extent. I mean, we are at the moment, we just tick over. We relied on being able to produce so much so quickly, very little profit, but we sold quite a bit of it. So that was the way that ticked us over. But obviously we had Brexit, they've got all the interest rates rising, everything rising, but we really haven't increased our prices pretty much since we started, maybe a pound here and there, but we've never really increased our prices. So it's really difficult. And I do feel for everybody in the industry, because especially if they're having to import clothing into this country to then sell for it to be shipped back out, I can understand why a pole set can cost £100 and, you know, and more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cost of everything has gone up anyway, obviously, because positives and all that stuff. But, like, you know, so the cost of everything has gone up. And I think, do you think people are just, like, because they're tighter with their money, they're just less willing to spend so much? Do you think companies like, I don't know how you pronounce it, whether it's Shine or Shein or whatever it is, are companies like that really having an effect, do you think, on Pole companies?
Most definitely. I mean, there is no way when they're selling, you know, a pair of bottoms for £6, we couldn't even get the fabric in for that amount of money, let alone, you know, be able to make it and sell it and make
How
and make
some sort. Just because they're making so many?
Yes, because it's mass production and it's being made in countries where they don't have to make so much money. They don't have to pay their workers so much money. So that's how they make it so cheaply. When people are being paid £1 and £2 a day and, you know, and they're able to buy, you know, a lot of them make their fabric over there. So the costs are very, very low for them to produce it. So they can sell it cheap, whereas if you're buying something here, you know, you've got to take into consideration that the fabric isn't made here. It has to be shipped from Italy. We have to get it in. We have to make the stuff. You've got electric lighting and stuff like that. It's all so much more money here than what it is over there. And that's how they can afford to do it.
For sure.
So, yeah it's agreed. Massive, massive impact on, you know, people like us.
I guess it's just lucky, really, that they're not providing actual pole sets. So what people are buying aren't always necessarily perfect. Because obviously, like, the, I don't know if you, what do you call it, the gusset area? Like, like the crotch area.
Yeah,
it's not as wide. So for things like splits and stuff, it might not be as suitable. Unless you've got like a really small pussy, in which case you might be absolutely fine. But you know, some of the big pussy bitches, they need the extra large gusset, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But like,
it's not just that. I think
a lot of people talking about this, like, shine and stuff.
I think, to be fair, like, the world of we're turning into a throwaway society, and I think people are more like, well, I can get that for £3. Wear it once and throw it in the bin. And I think that's a massive issue as well.
It's huge.
You know,
especially wastage.
Yeah, the amount of, you know, like, whereas our stuff is made to last, we make it to last. The amount of people that I've seen that are posting pole sets for sale, and I remember we sold out of that fabric years ago. And they are, you know, they're still selling. Or it was the old tags or something, and we only had the old tags for a year, so that's 7 years ago.
Right.
You know, and they're still selling them, and they are in perfect condition. It's
made
to last.
Which is really a testament to, like, the quality, isn't it? You know, it's like I've had some brands before where the quality is just shit, or the material is just thin and horrible, or like it. You know, in those materials, like, it's like a stretch, but they stretch so much that it almost goes a little bit see-through.
Yeah.
Not obviously completely, but enough where you can kind of see a bit.
See everything.
Like, you can see where it's stretched so much, it's gone a little bit see-through.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, that's testament, really, to Pole Hog, really, because you always do really, really good quality, which is why I always wear it, and because it always just fits me quite well, so I quite like it. Hey, what's up, everyone? Sorry to interrupt your podcast. I just wanted to come on and tell you really quickly about one of our sponsors for this podcast, which is Superfly Honey. So tell me, do you want to be Superfly Honey? Well, honey, of course you do. Well, if you want to be Superfly, you need to make sure you get yourself some Superfly Honey grip leggings. Now, Superfly Honey specialize in these grip leggings that you may have seen all over Instagram at the moment. Everybody's wearing them. And these are great for anyone who like to just keep themselves a little bit more covered up. Maybe you're poling in a cold country and you need some extra grip because your skin just isn't giving you the grip you need. Well, Superfly Honey have got you covered with their grip leggings. Now, they told me to give an honest review, and I did have a pair sent to me, and I can tell you the only thing that was sad about them was that the pair they sent me didn't fit me. They were too small and they were too short because I needed their tall range. So if you're like me and you're a tall bitch too, guess what? They've got their own tall range. They obviously just didn't realize that I was a 6 foot glamazon. So they sent me their tall range, and now I have one of their tall pairs of leggings, and they fit so snug. There's no movement on them. I didn't feel like they were going to cause any friction. They were super tight to the legs, so they felt really comfortable. And for any of you out there who like to stay covered up, these are amazing for you and definitely an option to try out. So go and check out Superfly Honey. What about competition? Like, there's a lot more competition within the industry now. Like, do you feel the pressure of that? Like, are you noticing that it's making it more what's the word? Like, it's because it's so saturated now. Do you think it's just a harder market to get into because there's so many companies making pole wear?
Yes, it is. It is very hard. I mean, like I say, Mr. Pole Hog doesn't come in as many days because he has to go out and earn a living. Because it is really, really hard. I mean, there's people out there and they are making stuff in the UK and they are making technical fancy items and they're selling it for a lot cheaper than what we would because they have a full-time job. They're just doing a little bit on the side, you know, just to make a few quid here and there. And that is what, like, is really hard for us because there's no way that we could be able to do that, you know, and cover a wage and cover the costs of running it. So, yeah, things like that are really, really hard.
But do you think, though, that stuff like, do you think stuff like that, though, really lasts very long? Because it's that whole thing of, like, yeah, you know, they're like, oh, I love making, because I know exactly the people you're talking about. You know, the people are like, oh, I've got a sewing machine. I love just making clothes. Does anyone want a pair of pole bottoms? I'll make you some. And then, you know, they'll do like 20 sets, whatever, and it'll be so fun. They'll be like, oh, I made a little bit of extra cash. And then they'll start realizing that it's taking hours of their time. And then the price starts to go up because they're like, actually, if I'm going to do this, I want to be paid more because this just is not worth my time. Do you know
what I mean? When the price goes up is 100% is when they start selling to their not friends and they have to deal with customers. That's when the price goes up. When they realise how much work is involved in actually taking an order from someone, I feel that's when the prices goes up. I take my hat off to anybody that wants to try. You know, if anybody wants to try it, fantastic. They're in for hard work. But yeah, I think it's not a bad thing.
It's funny because I remember thinking about at one point, because obviously we sell the merch, but I was thinking, like, oh, it could be really cool to like sell some pole clothes, like actual pole sets. I remember doing like some research before I even thought about it. And I looked into the industry and I just thought, do you know what? Like, this is such a fucking hard market to get into anyway.
Yeah.
And we're such a small industry. Yeah. So like with so many competitors out there already, I just thought, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, what's the point? And, you know, yeah, go on. What were you going to say?
You find what people are into at the time as well changes really, really quickly. Literally into weeks, you know, like 2 weeks you'll be doing anything that's a thong, anything that's boobs out, anything, you know, revealing. And then next week, you know, or 2 weeks down the line, the same people are saying, right, I need coverage, I need full coverage. Get your fabric and just wrap it round. I want as much coverage as possible. It changes so quickly as well. So it's like bringing out designs and stuff. The amount of hours it takes into actually designing, you know, how something's going to fit. You've got to test it. You've got to make it. You've got to try it, you know, and then go back, make your adjustments, try it all again. And then the next week you've done all that. But then the next week everybody's like, they're not into that anymore. They want this. And, you know, it's so fast paced in what people are wanting.
I guess it's just like fast fashion, isn't it? But in a smaller scale, like, you know, these smaller companies that are making, you know, I mean, even Hella, I mean, Hella is a big company. You know, but they're having to, they're still small in terms of brands, right? So, yes, they're big for the pole industry, but they're still a small brand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the rate that Harrier has to keep up, fucking hell, I don't know how she does it. Yeah. I literally do not know how she does it. Literally, she'll do a launch and the next minute she's ready. She's thinking of the next launch. So
you have to be ahead. You have to be ahead.
People just constantly need that new thing, like, it's so funny, though, but, you know, it sounds really sad, but I've got the same, well, apart from now, because I had to throw two of them away and I've just ordered some more, but, you know, I've just bought some new pole shorts, but those pole shorts will last me a good few years, probably.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't really buy pole clothes that often, but also because there's not much available for men. I mean, what's your thoughts around, like, men's pole clothing? Like, again, it must just be so niche for you guys that it's probably not really worth your time, is it?
Well, it is because the whole reason that we started was because I wanted everybody to feel comfortable. I felt uncomfortable because I didn't have the right attire. I wanted the same as everybody else, you know. So it doesn't matter whether we sell one pair or we sell 20,000 pairs. To us, it's worth doing it because that one person can go to a class and feel amazing and feel like everybody else you know, and that's what it's about for us. The male stuff, when we first started doing it, it was we'd sell one and then we'd sell two and then we wouldn't do any more for another 3 or 4 months, or, you know. Now we are getting a lot more regular people that are ordering because they're telling their friends and they're seeing, you know, they're seeing that they can buy something from us. And it's the fact that, you know, they could look at the website and be like, oh, well, I really like that fabric, but you haven't got it on your website. Can you do it for me? Yeah, of course we can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I like. I mean, I just bought some of the ones that were already on there. But I know, yeah, obviously I can always message and be like, Kim, I want this fabric, please,
yeah,
for these,
yeah,
shorts.
Yeah, we can do that.
You know, I know, yeah, exactly. And I like that it's a smaller company where it's quite personal touch, you know, where people can stay, yeah, in contact with you. Do you ever have any run-ins with that? Because when you're a smaller size company and obviously people feel like they... how can I word this? Like they have access to you. Do you ever notice that? Like, do you ever get, like, yeah, people messaging you and being like, oh, I've got a problem with this. I'd message you on your personal Instagram. Your personal,
yeah, so,
do you know what I mean? And they're just,
yeah.
Do you get issues with that?
I had to stop it quite a while ago because I had to say to everybody, look, if you want a message, you need to message the page. Because we do ship international, I don't mind talking to anybody. I'm like, I will talk to anybody. I'm not bothered. Whether it be about Pohog or not, it doesn't really matter. But the problem was, it was international, so it was different times, you know. And I'm getting messages at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, right. I just want to ask about these pole shorts. I was like, no.
That became hard.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah. I don't do it no more.
Oh my God. So literally, where I'm sat now is my office, right? And for years, I've always left my phone downstairs. I always leave my phone downstairs.
Yeah, no.
I refuse to take it to bed with me. I just, it's one of those things, like, obviously once I'm asleep, I won't check it. But when I wake up for a pee or something, if I see there's a message on it, I just
want to
reply to it.
You've got
to
open it.
My God, it's so annoying. It's so
annoying.
The
thing, I was replying. Yeah, I was replying 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone would go ding. I'd be like, oh. So I'd get up and I'd reply to people. And if Ronnie'd be like, what are you doing? I'd be like, oh, just give me 2 minutes. I'm just talking to such and such. So, yeah, I used to literally, like, no matter what time it was, hardly get any sleep because I'd be just constantly replying to people at stupid hours in the morning. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good for you.
Completely changed.
That's the only, again, like, downside to being a smaller scale business,
yeah,
is that,
yeah,
people do feel like they have that access to you. And it's just like, as well, you've got a Pohog group, which I'm in, the Pohog, like, Facebook group. Do you,
yeah,
have a lot of work with that? Like, is that a lot? Because people are quite active in there, I find.
We've calmed down a little bit now. We don't tend to be, you know, as on it anymore because our lifestyles have changed. I mean, since lockdown and, you know, our lifestyles have completely changed. So, yeah, I mean, I do try and do, like, competitions and stuff and, you know, for the group members because they're always posting pictures and tagging us and, you know, they're doing their bit. So, you know, it's,
yeah,
nice to give something back. So that was the whole point of the group, really, in the first place, was to give back to people for doing, you know, doing our advertising. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
So that was the main reason for the group. But then we found, like, it was quite a nice place and people could post, like, literally anything they wanted. And it became a support, you know, more of a support group than actual pole wear group, you know.
Right.
So we sort of keep that going. But,
It goes crazy in there when you have the sales, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not as active anymore.
Well, if anyone isn't in the Pohog group, go and add yourself because they do sales in there. And when they do sales in there, it goes freaking crazy. You were saying about, like, doing sales with stuff from the comps and stuff, where you've had stores at comps and stuff. I remember I went to, was it Northern Pole Championships? Do you remember the one that Lisa Oxford used to run?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire Pole Champs. Yeah. I remember seeing you there 1 year, and oh my God, I've never seen so many pole clothes on the table in my life. It was chaos. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so you're saying that you make all of that just for the show?
Yeah.
Wow, that is nuts. So there must have been like 100 or more. Loads more than
200. That, yeah.
It was nuts. There was so many things. Like, Do you do them anymore? Because I haven't noticed you.
No, we haven't been for a while. A lifestyle change, I think, is the main reason.
I was going to ask if it was like you're not making any money off of it anymore, or like
we never really made a lot of money from competitions or anything like that, because we sold everything so cheap. It wasn't about making money. It was about getting people aware of who we are. Uh-huh. And that was the main reason for doing it. I mean, we'd go to a show and we'd end up coming back and it had cost us thousands of pounds to do it. You know, all the fabric. We had staff at the time, so we had, you know, staff to pay wages to make the stuff. And, you know, so we never really, like, made a lot of money from it. But it made us who we were, and it got our word out of who we were. And a lot of the reason was a lot of people used to say, well, we want to try stuff on. Like, well, come to a show. You can try it on there. You know what to order. Everything's all exactly the same size, and if you order online, so it was a good. It was a good way.
Do you ever think about like? Because obviously you're talking about like that was like over 200 pieces and stuff that you had there. Do you ever think about like getting a shitload of it just made in China or somewhere like that, and just being like, right, we'll get a production factory to make it. Like, does that not? No. Is it obviously? I assume because tell me if I'm wrong, I get kind of like not a control freak vibe, but like you like to ensure the quality yourself and stuff, and that's why you make a lot of it yourself. But do you ever think about using a company to make it all for you and then just dispatching it? Or it just wouldn't work out worthwhile?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be happy with it. I know 100%. I go shopping. If I go shopping anywhere in town, I will quality assess a garment before I buy it. And I'm a nightmare for it. I can't help it.
But I'm interested to know. So what should people be looking out for? So when, like, if I buy a t-shirt and you're like, I quality assess it. What do you mean? Like, check if there's like holes and stuff.
Yeah, it's how it's made. You can tell, like, obviously it's really hard, but you can tell what sort of machine it's been done, how many threads they've used. So how long it's going to last, if it's got safety threads in, safety stitches, you know, everything.
Oh my god, I wouldn't even know what a fucking safety stitch looks like. Dude, that is crazy. I love that. So you're literally going around there like, excuse me, does this have a safety stitch in? And the salespeople are like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I have a nightmare for it.
Hey, what's up everyone? So sorry to interrupt your episode. I just wanted to come on really quickly and tell you a little bit about polols.com. Did you know that we offer international shipping? Well, we've always offered international shipping, but now we're offering it at a much more reasonable price because shipping from the UK is crazy expensive, so we had to do something about it. So now you can get all of our awesome designs shipped to your home at a much more reasonable price. So why don't you go and check out polols.com today? Because if you want a t-shirt that's got a picture of some pole dancing cats on, maybe some pole dancing dogs, maybe you want a t-shirt that says heels bigger than your dick on it. There's something for everyone. So go and check out polols.com today. Let's get back to the episode. Have you ever bought any stuff from Shein?
I have, yes, I have.
And what, I'm not going to lie. Like?
It was when they very, very, very first started. It was okay. I've still got it now. It was just like we was going on holiday and I wanted something, you know, just like a chuck over thing. So I was like, well, I'll try it. So I ordered that and I do still have it. I do still have it in my wardrobe. The fabric quality wasn't that great. The stitching wasn't that great, but it hasn't fell apart. So they did something right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the pricing of it is where people get caught out. They want the fast fashion, but they can't afford the fast fashion. So what they're doing is they're affording it by buying from places like Shein. What sort of effects do you think Shein are going to have on the pole industry going forward? Do you think that's going to have any effect on pole brands like later down the line?
I don't know. I think you'll find a lot of people just starting out in pole, they would probably prefer to go down that route because they don't know how long they're going to stay in, you know, doing pole, or you know what it's like. It's a turnaround. They try it once, twice, and they don't want to come back. Or then you'll get people that get so addicted, you know, to how it makes them feel that they will stay in the industry for a lot of years. I think you'll get a lot of people that will start out will tend to buy the cheap stuff from places like that because they don't know if they're going to stay. And then eventually they will order from a poleware company. I do find that quite a lot that, you know, oh, this is my first pole. This is my first pole outfit. I've been poling a year now, so I thought it was time. So I think, yes, they will buy from them, you know, at the start, but the more they get into pole, they want that security. The moves get harder, you know, you need the coverage.
You do.
You know,
yeah,
so.
Who was your first pole set from?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know. I bought it off Suzanne Colborne. I can't remember the name, actually.
Oh, it wasn't Suzanne Colborne. What is it she used to sell?
The silks, pole silks.
Yeah, but there was a brand that she used to sell, wasn't there? What was the brand?
I can't think what it was called.
But they're not going anymore, are they?
No. That was the very first actual set that I bought. I can't remember what it was called.
Are there any brands that you see within the industry now that you think, I really like what they're doing, or I really like their stuff?
Oh, there's loads, isn't there? There's loads. You know, all the fancy stuff that everybody's making now, it's all fantastic. I'd love to have the time to sit down and make some. But yeah, there's so much.
Really intricate, though. This is why they're expensive. Oh, yeah. And I guess is why people are, why is this pulse? So it's just a piece of fabric with like a few straps. But I assume just making those straps alone, just to go on the garment stuff, is like an extra however many minutes on top of making the bottoms. And then if it's got a meshy section, they've got to sew the mesh in.
Mesh isn't as bad. Straps are a nightmare. They are so hard to make because they have to stay stretchy. You know, so you can't use a solid stitch. And then obviously, to stay stretchy, then it all has to be turned inside out so you can't see the stitching. You know, and then they all have to be the right correct length. So every length will need to change as it shapes around, and then you have to do that in every single size. Yeah. So that's why we don't do it. It's just sheer time. The time that the stuff like that takes. And we're known for being a cheap brand. So if I said to somebody, oh, well, that set's going to cost you £90, they'd be like, no chance. You've got no chance. And that's where I think maybe we've shot ourselves in the foot, is that we can't do the fancy stuff because people are used to our prices and they don't want to pay for it.
Well, could you do it as like, have you ever considered having like the sort of like the budget range and then like the luxury range, like a more luxury style? Do you know what I mean? And just having a separate section, just seeing how it goes. It could be like, make one for Jessie. So if anyone's wondering who Jessie is, by the way, that we're talking about, Jessie is one of Kim's friends. and Jessie could wear it, and then a load of people will be like, oh, actually, I really like that. And then maybe more people will, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I always want, do you ever think about like that with Pole Hog, like where you'd like to take the brand, like going forward, if there's somewhere that you'd like to take it, like what would you like to do with it?
I don't know. Like, I like doing what we do. I like being affordable, and I like, you know, being the fact that the first person where somebody comes to, well, I've got big boobs. I can't find anything to keep me in. Somebody's told me that you're the place to go, and that's
so
what I like.
So when people ask me about men's pole clothing, I always say you. But also when bigger girls or girls with big boobs, I'm always like, go to Pole Hog, because they do bigger sizes and they do stuff for the big titty girls. Because I remember there being this whole thread about it once. He was in like a group somewhere, and everyone was like, oh, big boobs, yes, go to Pole Hog, go to Pole Hog, Pole Hog, Pole Hog, Pole Hog. And everyone was like, everyone go to Pole Hog. So it's really good that, you know, girls with, because there are quite a lot of pole dancers out there who do have big busts.
Yeah, they have big boobs.
They're a fucking nightmare. Do you know what? It must be a nightmare to keep in a top.
They're a nightmare
top
for me.
Very small. Right, exactly. I can only imagine. Like, what's the biggest size that you actually accommodate for with, like, boobs?
It's a very difficult one because I don't agree with how boobs are measured today either. So, you know, it's really difficult because it's so varied, you know. It's like I've been measured at a 32D in one shop and then a 30 double F in another shop. There's no way I'm a double F. No way on this planet I'm a double F.
So how do they measure it? Like, sorry, I know that's a really stupid question. Maybe so many girls listening to this are probably like, fucking hell, Dan. But like, how do you... Do you literally have to get your boobs out and they measure your whole boob? Or is it just...
It's just more of your chest? So they'll measure an underbust measurement and then an overbust measurement and then work out... It's a maths equation, how they work it out. But obviously, every single shot tends to measure it completely different. So normally, I get a picture of like, can you do anything with these? I was like, okay. The amount of boobs that I've seen in my life is unbelievable. But that's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. But I love that you're creating a brand that is going to accommodate for people like that. And I think that's really good that you're doing something like that. Do you ever, with other brands, do you ever get brands copy you? You don't obviously have to mention names, but do you ever get any issues with like, you create a new design and then a few weeks later you're like, oh, that design is very similar to the design that we just made. Have you had any issues with that?
It happened at one of your competition shows, actually. You know, your competition, really? We brought out a new design. Yeah, we brought out a new design and then like literally it was like a week later there was somebody else that was doing the exact same design. It's like, oh my God. Okay.
Oh, wait. So hold on. Someone saw it at Heir to the Crown and then a few weeks later they copied it.
I can't say that they copied it because they might have had that, you know, the same idea in their mind at the same time. I don't know.
Oh, that's a very politically correct answer, isn't it? And is there anything you can do to stop shit like that?
No, you can't copyright clothing. You can copyright brands, you can copyright names, you can even copyright, you know, a design on a fabric or, you know, silhouettes and stuff like that, but you can't copyright or patent an actual pattern of a garment.
So say, for example, like Gucci, right? They've got the Gucci bags and they're like quite distinctively Gucci.
Yeah.
You're telling me another brand could literally make exactly the same bag and just...
It's got to have, I think it's, I think it's 5 points, I believe. It's like five, there's got to be like so many points difference in this thing, but they only have to be small points, you know. So,
well, I see. So they could maybe make the strap just very slightly smaller, and then the bust weight. Oh God!
Yeah. That's how they get around it, and that's how they can. It's the names. If they brand it, that's when they have trouble. You know, we had somebody that started up. You know, it wasn't about like people just starting up and I can make you that. I can make that. They'd clearly taken one of our patterns. Copied it, made it, and then they were selling in the style of Paul Hogg. And I was like, you can't do that. So obviously I had to message her and say, you know, you can't use our name. We own the name. It's branded. We own the brand. So you can't, you know, it's clearly that you've taken our garments, taken them apart and done whatever. I said, that's okay. If you want to do that, you do that. But you can't sell it in the style of Paul Hogg. She says, well, it does say in the style of. I was like, you can't use our name at all when you are making Paul wear. You can't do it. You know,
that's nuts.
It's crazy.
But, so she argued it, did she?
Yeah, she was arguing it. Yeah, definitely.
That is crazy. The thing is, though, is that, you know, there's no integrity to it. So, like, how long does it realistically last for? Because, like, if you're going to be selling stuff like that in the style of, you know, people are going to call that shit out anyway, first of all. Like, people will call it out, won't they? So it's like, I just don't really get the point of doing it. It doesn't really
make sense. Well, I spotted it, and she was doing quite a few different brands, actually. So she'd taken, like, quite a few other brands and took them apart and done exactly the same. But obviously, I emailed the other brands and said to them, you know, this is what's happening. This is what I've seen. Obviously, I've spoken to her. But she's you know, she's quite happy that, you know, she's in the right when she's not. So I think it was a case of that everybody had started, like, speaking to her and saying, you know, you can't be doing this. This is our stuff. And I didn't see anything from her since. Well, especially not in the style of. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, also, I think it took a few people to say.
But also, it's just been like, why does she even need to say that? Why didn't she just say this is the style and that's it? And like, if she's going to copy, don't freaking make it so obvious. But that's just nuts. I mean, what's your thoughts of where the pole industry is going with regards to pole clothing? Like, where do you think, what's the future you can see for us? Like, what do you think of it?
Well, I don't know, because it's changing so quickly. I feel like lockdown was a massive thing and a lot of people stopped polling. So that was like, I don't know, it was like a massive thing for us, because there was a lot of our old girls. Yeah, there was older girls that, you know, they said, oh, we do this now and we do this now. I was like, oh, that's a shame. But then you're getting the new people that are coming in, you know, and they're replacing these. And then it's like starting again. You're having to constantly start again. And I feel like pole is quite a bit of a cycle like that. You know, the whole industry.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, if you look at people like Deb Riley and, you know, Donna Gant, like, the people that they were teaching when they first started teaching. Well, I love Donna too. But, you know, like, when you think about the people that Donna probably taught when she first started teaching, oh, God, none of them are going to be polling anymore. Do you know what I mean? She's probably one of... Her and, like, Debs are probably, like, some of the last ones standing from there. I know it sounds really mean to say, like, it's like their generation. I don't mean it in that sort of way, but...
Yeah, you know.
Their generation of pole, their pole life, a lot of the people that were doing...
They're the pole mummies.
Those two, and that's what I mean, but they're kind of like the last one standing. Like, if you think of some of the big names that used to pole around the same time as them, there's not many of them that are still doing it. We are very much like, there's only a few names from, you know, like every year that becomes like a pole dancer that ends up doing it in 5 or 6 years' time. People move on with their lives, but the good thing is that we've always got new people coming in, and that's good. Are you still doing influencer marketing and using like influencers and stuff to promote your stuff?
Not so much now. I mean, we have, like I say, we have like sort of tried to quieten it down a little bit, because it became that our life was literally pole hog. That was it. Everything, day and night. It was literally eat, breathe, you know, sleep, pole hog. So we have quietened it down. I mean, we recently moved house. We moved from, well, I won't say recently, but it was like during lockdown. And we moved to a little place that's got a little bit more land. So we now have like a small holding, and we're now like trying to be really self-sufficient. We grow all our own fruit and vegetables. I can it all for winter and like proper little prepper.
That's amazing.
But yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Like, a few steps to go, but we're nearly self-sufficient. So that takes up a lot of time.
I bet it does. My God, you must save so much money now.
Well, yeah, on shopping, yeah.
For sure, that's amazing though.
I've become like vegetarian, but not of my own free will.
Well, that'd be perfect for me, because I'm vegetarian, so it'd be great for me. But yeah, well, at least it's going to save you some money. It's definitely a lot cheaper than buying meat at the moment, so that's good.
Yeah.
So think of the animals that you're saving, Kim.
I've got them all in my back garden. Everybody's like, oh, I found these chickens. Do you want them? I was like, okay, I'll take them.
And that's so funny. So how many animals do you have?
Oh, I've got loads. I've got loads. Chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys. There was two goats. There was a lady that had two goats, and they was tethered to a fence, and that's where they stayed. And I was like, oh, what are we going to do? I said, I can't leave them here. We need to take them home. So Ronnie's like, oh, my God, here we go. So I ended up with two goats. Both of them were pregnant. So I ended up with four goats. There's a lady that lives not far from me, and she's got quite a few acres of land, and she's got like a herd of goats that roam around. So when there was well enough and healthy enough, so I fed them all up, made sure they was all nice and healthy. So I rehomed them into another herd. So they're all like now living their best life. And so I ended up taking like loads of animals in, and then I get them all nice and well, and then I go find them all nice homes where they can just live their lives.
But you don't, none of the animals that you have on your like property are for eating, no? They're just...
No, I don't know.
Can't
eat them, they're cute.
That's what I mean. Like, do you know when you hear about people who like, you know, they have animals and then they like raise them and then they eat them?
Yeah, I just couldn't do that. I'd get way too attached.
I just couldn't do that.
They have to not give them names. That's the rule of thumb. If you're going to eat them, you can't give them names. All mine are named, so I can't.
Oh, there you go. So you can't. Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Well, Kim, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. I mean, I really hope that Pole Hog will still continue to keep doing its thing, because I love buying my shorts from you. Can you just tell everybody where they can find you on socials, how they can buy stuff from you? Just give us all the social pages and the websites.
So anything that's custom order. So if you want to order anything that's not on our website, find Pole Hog on Facebook, order through there, or Instagram. Just send me a message. It'll be me that you talk to. Website stuff, www.paulhogg.com. That's where to find us.
Awesome. Go and check them out, everyone. Kim and Mr. Polhog are the loveliest, and they always make me good stuff, and they always try and turn around quicker than it says on their website. So, yeah.
Always.
I always really love that, yeah. I know, because it says on your website, I think it says, like, oh, it'll be with you within, like, is it 26 days or something? I'm like,
21 days.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think I've ever waited 21 days for shorts.
No, never.
But no, it's good that you've got that as a backup, because then it means that people are happy when it arrives early, so that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kim, and I'll speak
Thank
to you
Thank you for
sometime.
Having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, bitch, hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you have someone that you want on the podcast and you want me to talk to, please drop me a message on Instagram and let me know, because I'm always looking for new, interesting people to talk to on this podcast. So drop me a message on Instagram at Dan Rosenpohl. And until next time, bye.
That was all the tea that you can get this week. Join me next time right here. It's the Weekly Tea.